The Arabian Nights, adapted by Amy Steedman. The Enchanted Horse. It was New Year's Day in Persia, the most splendid feast day of all the year, and the king had been entertained, hour after hour, by the wonderful shows prepared for him by his people. Evening was drawing on, and the court was just about to retire, when an Indian appeared, leading a horse which he wished to show to the king. It was not a real horse, but it was so wonderfully made that it looked exactly as if it were alive.
"Your Majesty,"
cried the Indian, as he bowed himself to the ground,
"I beg thou wilt look upon this wonder. Nothing thou hast seen today can equal this horse of mine. I have only to mount upon its back and wish myself in any part of the world, and it carries me there in a few minutes."
Now the king of Persia was very fond of curious and clever things, so he looked at the horse with great interest.
"It seems only a common horse," he said, "but thou shalt show us what it can do."
Then he pointed to a distant mountain and bade the Indian to fetch a branch from the palm trees which grew near its foot. The Indian vaulted into the saddle, turned a little peg in the horse's neck, and in a moment was flying so swiftly through the air that he soon disappeared from sight. In less than a quarter of an hour, he reappeared and laid the palm branch at the king's feet.
"Thou art right," cried the king. "Thy enchanted horse is the most wonderful thing I have yet seen. What is its price? I must have it for my own."
The Indian shook his head.
"Your Majesty," he said, "this horse can never be sold for money, but can only be exchanged for something of equal value. It shall be thine only if thou wilt give me instead the princess, your daughter, for my wife."
At these words, the king's son sprang to his feet.
"Sire," he cried, "thou wilt never dream of granting such a request."
"My son," answered the king, "at whatever cost I must have this wonderful horse. But before I agree to the exchange, I would wish thee to try the horse, and tell me what thou thinkest of it." The Indian, who stood listening to what they said, was quite willing that the prince should try the enchanted horse, and began to give him directions how to guide it. But as soon as the prince was in the saddle and saw the peg which made the horse start, he never waited to hear more. He turned the screw at once and went flying off through the air.
"Alas!" cried the Indian. "He has gone off without learning how to come back. Never will he be able to stop the horse unless he finds the second peg."
The king was terribly frightened when he heard the Indian's words, for by this time the prince had disappeared from sight.
"Wretch," he cried, "thou shalt be cast into prison, and unless my son returns in safety, thou shalt be put to death."
Meanwhile, the prince had gone gaily sailing up into the air until he reached the clouds and could no longer see the earth below. This was very pleasant, and he felt that he had never had such a delicious ride in his life before. But presently he began to think it was time to descend. He screwed the peg round and round, backwards and forwards, but it seemed to make no difference. Instead of coming down, he sailed higher and higher until he thought he was going to knock his head against the blue sky. What was to be done? The prince began to grow a little nervous, and he felt over the horse's neck to see if there was another peg to be found anywhere. To his joy, just behind the ear, he touched a small screw, and when he turned it, he felt he was going slower and slower and gently turning around. Then he shouted with joy as the enchanted horse flew downwards through the starry night, and he saw, stretched out before him, a beautiful city gleaming white through the purple mantle of the night. Everything was strange to him, and he did not know in what direction to guide the horse, so he let it go where it would, and presently it stopped on the roof of a great marble palace. There was a gallery running round the roof, and at the end of the gallery there was a door leading down some white marble steps. The prince began at once to descend the steps, and found himself in a great hall where a row of black slaves were sleeping soundly, guarding the entrance to a room beyond. Very softly, the prince crept past the guards, and lifting the curtain from the door, looked in. And there he saw a splendid room, lighted by a thousand lights, and filled with sleeping slaves, and in the middle,